It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
Back from Bristol, you are.
Yeah, man.
How about that?
Call me Joe Oak Pollen Allergy.
Oak Pollen Allergy.
It's awful.
That's
out there.
Too long. You got to
turn
it.
It rained all the way home on me today.
OPA.
OPA. OPA.
I hit Florida State line, started raining.
Well, that's good. You brought it with you because we needed it, man.
Oh,
it's
man.
Been since March 1st, and it laid the pollen down. I feel a lot better. But, man, the voice, everything's just terrible.
Well, that watching it rain yesterday was a blessing, man.
Yeah, it laid the smoke down too from the wildfire.
Well, you know, let's of course remind everybody 239-0033, 800-927-0033. Call us, talk to you about what's going on racing wise on your mind. Some of the things that are going on out there in the Cup Series. I want to say, really, I talked about the Bristol thing, and you know, I think this. This legend idea, this legends race in Bristol, you know, I think we've all, for years and years and years, have dreamed about some kind of legends race, some mini legends series, so, you know, some throwback kind of thing. There's been opportunities to try to get something going. You know, it's they did it with the Silver Crown cars one time. That was sort of that didn't make a lot of sense because you had mostly NASCAR guys driving cars they never drove before. You know, just all kinds of different opportunities. And here, in fact, we got all these guys to say yes to compete at Bristol at one of the, you know, obviously one of the better places to do it. And then. I think, in my own opinion, I think they blew it. I think letting Sterling Marlin in the race. Now, I like Sterling. I mean, I'm not saying this isn't anti-Sterling, although I would say he had the option of passing and declining the invitation. But I think when you got guys that are still able and still trying to
compete
and still in the Sprint Cup Series. You shouldn't be able to run in both races. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Is he considered a full-time driver in 2009? No.
Full-time or part-time, are you still trying to compete at the highest level in racing the Sprint Cup Series? And if the answer to that is yes, you shouldn't be able to run with the rest of those guys. I just don't think it makes any sense.
An asphalt racer, I am not. But I will tell you that Saturday night, they could have done something a little different. I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, you had a great field of drivers. David Pearson was supposed to race, but he hurt his back, so Larry Pearson drove for him. Kyle Yarborough raced, Terry Gant. But, you know, you fall back, Bill Elliott could have been one. Darrell Waltrip, who's won there 6 or 7 times.
Well, Darrell Waltrip was going to.
Yeah, and Darrell said he thought about it, but he had something wrong with his back. It's called a yellow streak down the back of it.
Oh!
So why not this guy, you know, why not Dale Jarrett? You know, some of these guys, I think it would have been more interesting. This L.D. Ottinger,
oh, yeah,
I really know who he was. And
oh, yeah.
When I was reading up on him a little bit Saturday, I was like, okay, this guy should be in here.
Right.
But all in all, it was, if you see it on TV, it was the same thing as sitting there. It was boring. I mean, I left with 10 to go as soon as they throw that caution on lap 20 would have had 15 laps to go because I knew nobody was going to outrun Sterling. Rusty Wallace couldn't run him down.
Well, I think part of the deal to me, here's one of the things I would suggest going forward. I think it's a great idea. I think it has an opportunity to be super neat, but I think you ought to have they could do it a couple ways. You should have a minimum retirement period. In other words, you shouldn't have been able to compete in a Sprint Cup race in the last 3 years.
Right.
Okay. If you've competed in the last 3 years, you're not eligible.
Yeah.
All right. And then you got the likes of Junior Johnson and some others. I mean, he was 77 years old competing in this race. I got to think that maybe we could have given Junior Johnson a little handicap or have another division of guys that are a little bit older. You know,
I still think, I mean, Childress could have ran.
Childress could have ran, sure.
I still think, man, you got so many things that people, so many guys that could have ran this deal that.
Well, I think what they got to do.
Childress
take
built
all
one
his,
of the cars, though.
Okay.
I mean, he put one of the cars in there.
I think what they got to do is get with those guys. Get with the Childress. Why didn't you run? How can what can we do to make it better so you can so you will run the next time? What can we do to get Darryl? Okay, Darryl, now we're a year out, buddy. Okay,
yeah.
Get your schedule
Prepare.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay, we want
you
to
do TV
this.
That night.
Right. You know, can
Ricky
you get
Rudd.
Ricky Rudd?
Indeed.
You know,
Crystal Winner, absolutely.
Dick Trickle.
There's lots of guys that you could get out there if you planned it far enough in advance.
Buckshot Jones.
I'm not.
Hey, were these URA late models, Billy?
Yeah. UARA.
UARA, United.
They had a good field of things. I left with them after, you know, like I said, with 15 to go in the Legend race, but we was outside in the souvenir row, and you could hear them caution after caution with the UARA race. But they had the whole pit road full of them.
It's a great idea, and they just need to get with these guys and get that field bigger. Maybe get it big enough where you split it in two with the older guys, but definitely don't let a guy that's going to run a cup race compete with these guys.
I don't know, Randy. I mean, last week I heard the program. You got the whole racing community here in Florida on their ear. And now we're at another track of Bruton Smith's, and you just seem to have a problem with it. You know, you got a problem with Charlotte with Ric Flair.
Wait a minute.
You got a problem with, you know, now you got a problem at Bristol. What is it with these tracks?
I'm complimenting the idea.
Of, man, it's getting smoky in
it's
here.
It's smoky, dude. Come on, it's
I can't see.
Huh?
God.
Oh, man.
I can't even see in front of me.
Hey, what's up? You better check the board or something, dude. Something's smoking in here.
Oh, I can't even breathe. Oh, my God.
It's Ric Flair.
Okay, I'm out of here, boys.
Randy Dye! Woo! Yogurt! And Billy the Kid!
Oh, boy, here we go.
Just got off the Learjet from Bristol Motor Speedway, where I was brushing up on my race directing. Randy Dye! While you're selling Chryslers, I'm eating caviar! While you're driving the 43, grapes are being fed to me. You're in the fast lane, and I'm drinking champagne, baby. I'm Learjet flying, limousine riding, styling and profiling, best thing going today. Woo! Woo!
And there he is himself, the nature boy.
Hey, he's just going to walk out. He just leave. That's all he needed to do. Good Lord. What was that about?
I'll tell you what. That's why
you're here for all this
time. I think you just wanted to make a statement what he was doing.
You heard, you know, you heard how quiet I got. That's because I left the room.
Huh?
Okay.
Wow.
Wait,
that
you know
was
what?
Awesome.
Okay, but wait. You said I got the whole, you know, the racing community turned upside down, and I said nothing derogatory about Ric Flair.
No, I actually heard that interview.
You must have heard it, too, because he's going to grab you.
All right. I didn't say...
No, you did say you like Ric Flair. You've met him. He's
right.
An athlete and everything.
Right.
I understand that.
But I don't believe that the environment that he is... I mean, he's gone, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The limo's driving off right now.
Okay. Right. Hey, hold on.
No, guess
hold
let
on.
Him go.
Hold
let
on.
Him go.
Sterling Marlin's walking in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. All I'm saying is that I don't believe that the two environments should join for any reason. That NASCAR and a WWE former superstar, 16-time world
WCW.
Champion.
Get it right.
Well, it's
well,
now WWE. Okay. WCW, 16-time world champion. I don't believe that those two have any place co-promoting. I don't believe it. I think it's wrong. I think it says something wrong about. Let me tell you this. I think the sport that has, the one that has the bet has more to win is the WWE or the WCW than NASCAR. I think NASCAR suffers from its harshest critics. They're still out there, Joe. Some of those guys have never gone away. They still pick on the sport. They talk about the integrity. I have people out there all the time that say it's choreographed. I mean, first off, that's nearly impossible. I'm just I just think it's fundamentally wrong. Now, again, keeping Ric Flair in his own world, and I know the guy's done some good stuff outside of his own world. Okay, I know that. But it's just wrong in my view.
I don't know. I think you're reading too much into it. I think it's tongue in cheek. It's a lot less serious than you're saying it is. Race director, just like you said last week, this is a non-position for him. He certainly will not be looking at these race cars and actually, you know, directing the race. He's going to be standing there doing whatever for promotional value only.
They gave him a name, is what they did.
I understand.
Yeah.
I agree.
These guys.
Of course not.
Okay, but you know how many people?
Damn, I should have gave my card.
Let me say
this. He's from North Carolina. They're going to Charlotte. You know that's where he's from. He's the hometown boy. You know, and he's going to be a part of the race. A little more than just the Grand Marshal.
16-time world champ.
He's the best thing going today.
16-time.
Well, he just said so. I mean,
he's amazing.
He didn't need you to say
the
that.
The all-time greatest in my book.
It's on his way to Carlisle right now.
Okay. Yeah, if you remember, I don't know if you heard the whole thing I said, but I said
to the show.
Bruno Sammartino was one of my all-time favorites.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, but I just don't think it's time. That, you know, I think we're past this time. I think the sport. Here's my point, Joe. I think
when they get to Homestead, Don Shula is going to be the race director.
Would you be all right with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a sport. It's a sport.
No, it's not.
A sport is a sport. It entertains.
There is an argument.
There's more competition involved.
There is,
I know what you're getting at. I will put words in your mouth.
Okay.
You know that they are athletes. However,
yes.
What you're saying is it's not a valid sport because it is, in fact, choreographed.
I'm saying that it's that there's if the outcome was not predetermined, then I would agree.
Then it's a sport.
Then it's a sport.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Don't let the King Jerry Lawler come in here, because he already smacked one guy back in the 70s. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I'm not saying
Andy
Kaufman that they couldn't do it. Okay? I already know that. But it's just, I think that NASCAR has matured past that stage.
But, again, this is Bruton Smith, man. You know? Look, Humpy's not the pitcher. Bruton says, look, I got to pick up the ball.
NASCAR
what am I gonna
is
do?
A sport.
I do.
You think they're athletes?
I do.
You do think so?
I do.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's see. Next week at Martinsville, let them push the car around the track and see how many laps they make. Now, that's called a sport.
The next thing you're going to do is
work
their
legs and their arms.
You're going to have Michael Waltrip and Ric Flair duking it out on the start finish line in Bristol.
We don't have
or Charlotte. We got a couple of
lines.
Let's go. Gene, who are we going first here? Huh? Gene, hey, Gene.
Good evening.
How are you?
Pretty good. Been listening about your analysis of the Legends race. I don't think that was a... I don't know. I didn't like the idea of Sterling and Terry in there because they're still racing.
I don't know. Terry said that Harry Gant looked better than he looked.
I know. Unbelievable. And I don't know. Rusty,
Terry said,
I
made him
that long either. My big question is, they've got those Legends races, I think, in Charlotte during the... somewhere around those 2 weeks, the up... to from the All Star to the World 600, and you hear Red Farmer and Pete Hamilton and the rest of them driving in that. Now, why couldn't they run Saturday night? What is this racing in Charlotte?
I think this. First off, let's put the criteria was not that it was just a wide open old race car driver race. It was winners from Bristol. And I don't believe Pete Hamilton and Red Farmer won.
I have
won.
To look it up, but I'm sure there's more than what was there.
Okay, well, you look it up and let us know.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, listen, you know what we're going to need you to do, Gene? You're a regular, we appreciate it, but we got this board looks like a Christmas tree, so how about listen, and we're going to go to a couple of other calls and give us a call back, will you?
Oh, sure, no problem, honey. I don't mind listening. You guys are good enough and give me your time about every...
Okay. All right, whoop. Hey, nice job, Mark. You just killed her quick. There, why? She was still talking. Okay, yeah, anyway, let's go. Jimmy G.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, I am surviving. What the hell you guys been sniffing up there?
Jimmy, you're a wrestling fan, ain't you?
I've been used to wash it.
We were smelling smoke a little bit ago.
Oh, man, I'm glad it turned out in here.
I was beginning to wonder. We had some alcohol, you know, sprinklers up there or something, getting some of the fumes.
Top Gun were at Ocala Friday night.
Wait. I want to get it. He's trying to make a couple comments. Hey, Jimmy, what's your opinion of this deal?
I'm not high with it. But there's, you know, Ric Flair is a money man, or was a money man up there in Charlotte. So somebody's, you know, one hand washes the other up there.
Well, I guess one of the questions I'd like to know is maybe this is a way, maybe Ric Flair's trying to revitalize his career.
Just thinking that. Same thing.
Yeah.
Retired right here in Orlando.
He's going to fight again. He's fixing the fight. He's going to fight.
Lomos fought here just a minute ago. The only difference was it wasn't a camera.
I think that NASCAR is doing this for one sole reason, guys. I think they're looking to get more fans in the seat.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. WWE fans spend thousands of dollars each. I know guys personally that do not miss a live event.
I know.
Okay, but
I see.
And they sell it out every time.
Indeed, they do.
Okay, let me make a point. I want to be clear.
We already closed the door.
No, okay. I still want to be clear. I think that's all good. I think it's great. I think it's neat to watch. I appreciate the athleticism. I've watched it. I get a kick out of it. All I'm trying to say, well, that's good, Billy. I mean, that's just what I think we're tearing the building down.
I'm sorry.
I just think all I'm trying to say is the two shouldn't commingle. That's it. I'm not beyond that. I just think that there's a lack of it lacks integrity. It impugns some of the other people who have done those jobs in the past. I think there's a lot of other choices.
It's honorary. That way. Honorary.
Okay, what's the word mean? Define honorary. The word honorary.
Honorary means it means nothing. It means honorary. He is nothing but a figure.
You're being recognized for some sort of contribution.
He's the first person that said yes when they called him.
No, he's made contributions.
Not to
his
sport.
No, not to that sport.
And I don't think him coming to that event adds one element to it. All right, Jimmy, you're on there. You go ahead and talk about it. Joe's, you know... Before it's over with, we're going to have an intermission. We're going to have a little WWF event right here. Okay?
I got Flair's cell phone number, and he will display that figure four leg lock on you.
Okay, come on, baby, bring it.
That's the best wrap up you had in a long time. Joe, how's things over there to Ocala? I heard a couple things. I didn't hear car count. Could you fill me in?
Billy's going to fill you in on that. I didn't make it. Billy, of course, was there, but some great racing. And Matt Kirk did pick up the win. Tell him about it, Billy.
15 cars is all they had, was all we had. Some guys still not happy with the so-called entry fee they put on the race, which was taken off on Thursday night or Friday. So a lot of guys didn't realize that and weren't able to get their stuff gathered up to make it. So 15 cars is what we had. Matt Kurtz had an unbelievable run, and I believe Mean Gene Lasker was second. I talked to Kurtz after it was over going to the scale house, and he said the racetrack was beautiful, that he could flat-foot the car from coming off turn four to going back in turn three. So, you know, racetrack was good. Just a little bit of hiccups on the Top Gun Sprint Car Series. Inaugural event, actually their inaugural event was in December, but their first points race or their first race kickoff, it just happened to be Ocala Speedway Friday, and it wasn't as good as I thought it could have been, but it's not my series, so I don't care to speak on about that.
You just did, man. You just did.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think the purse is a problem, and I think some guys, you just can't race for that. I mean, it ain't free to get to the racetrack no more. Even though they took the entry fee off, they still went through and cut. They went ahead and whacked the purse up Friday or Thursday night when they did that, and I just think that was a bad scenario. I don't have to pay the purse, so it's easy for me to sit here and talk about it.
You're always going to have these problems. Anyways, Joe.
Yeah, man.
D-A-R-A, coming to Volusia, April 25th.
Nice, so they nailed it down.
We nailed it down finally. It took 2 years.
Yeah, not bad. Good deal.
Good deal. This coming Saturday night, the boys are going to be over to Sisters County over in Inverness.
Hey, we got to get Randy a ride for that date. You know anybody that's got a classic or something they can strap him in?
You show up, I'll guarantee we'll put him in something.
Very well. Done deal. You heard it here, Randy.
I will talk to Bill Wendt, and he's going over there Friday to do some PR for the club.
Nice.
And I'll definitely do that.
And I'll tell you, I expect to see a lot of cars. I mean, this is the home track. It's Daytona Daytona Area Antique Auto Racing Association. So,
well, we're up to Conley Motorsports Park. First of the month, we had 24 cars.
Not bad at all.
We had, yeah, I mean, that's great. That was opener of the year, and, you know, we've done pretty good. Not, you know, I finally found my 100th car that we had at our 25th anniversary race over to Zephyr Hills. We had 100 cars documented.
Wow. Finally. Very nice.
Anyways.
Always a pleasure, Jimmy. What else?
Oh, just saying, went and did some tours to some high rod shops this week up to Indy.
Oh, yeah.
And made it over to the Indy 500 Museum.
Is that the most amazing museum you've ever been to in your life or not?
Oh, I mean, this.
That impressed me.
Look at some of those toys in there.
That is, you know, the if that's worth the trip from Orlando to Indianapolis to go to that museum for a day. Impressed me so much. I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fine. And I had a good blues bar downtown called the Slippery Noodle.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
Good deal. Good deal. So, had a trouble out there, man.
No,
Them Hoosiers.
We haven't got any racing, so.
Them Hoosiers are kind of tough, man. Be careful.
Well, like I say, you know, the best way to get a bunch of Indiana people over to Kentucky is tell them there's a job.
We're going to leave you with that, Jimmy.
Ooh, yeah, all right, Jimmy.
You guys have a good one.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Insert state here, right?
Wow.
Bill's on three. What's up, Bill?
This is Billy Big Rigger.
Hey, what's happening, Billy Big Rigger?
Hey, Billy Big Rigger.
Good Lord. Hey, Rick, I'll tell you what. I know you're a wrestling fan.
Here we go.
You would have really dug this about 10 minutes ago. Ric Flair came in here. It was amazing.
Woo!
Yes, indeed. It was unbelievable.
Hey, let me tell you guys straight up something. Wrestling, WWE, is all real. It's not fake.
Okay
you
thank
get that
you.
Out of the way.
All right, we're going
to here we go.
Pot that. Just save that, man.
There's some parts and pieces on them girls that ain't real.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's a
good real thing. Silicone.
That's, you know, you got to have aftermarket parts sometimes. You
absolutely.
Know, that's racing.
Dude, what is going on? Tell us about Texas, the World of Outlaws.
Joe, it was the most amazing thing that I think any of us have seen in quite a while. These fans, now you know as well as I do, you can do a driver introduction, and a lot of times they'll sit on their hands, clap for maybe their favorites or a nationally known guy. 24-car starting field, these fans, and every one of them, clap for every driver, gave them the exact same ovation. They surrounded the top three after victory lane. I mean, the fans in Texas just, they were starving for a great race, and I'm telling you, we put it on. Shannon Babb, you've seen him run Volusia around the top side. He was top side for 100 laps on what basically is a 4/10 mile track. And I'm telling you, it was a heck of a show. We had about 7 different lead changes. Phenomenal race. And to cap it all off, they bring in a 1,300-pound Texas steer named Hondo.
Really?
7 feet of horns from end to end.
Wow.
It was massive. Shannon Babb kisses him in victory lane. He puts his head down like he's ready to charge. Babb's all scared, but it all turned out good. Everybody got to sit on him with a picture and all that, and it was just phenomenal. It was a great event.
I'll bet his name was Ric Flair.
See, the deal here is Randy doesn't agree with the fact that NASCAR is integrating the world of wrestling by having Ric Flair as the honorary race director at the All-Star Race next month. He just doesn't agree with that. So bringing this steer out named Hondo, now you're integrating farming, perhaps, or beef producing with the short track motorsport. So
I'll tell you what, I agree with Randy, but I disagree with him, Joe. Okay, you made a great point. And we're in Texas, Texas Steer. They have a Texas Steer in Victory Lane. You're in Charlotte, North Carolina, home of Ric Flair. Okay, make him honorary. What do you do when you get to Darlington? What do you do when you get to Talladega? What do you do when you get to California? If you're going to do that, don't integrate one sport or one particular iconic type. Integrate what's important to that community to get them to come out.
Well, you know, now, something,
let's face it, Flair's big in Charlotte, yeah, North Carolina. That may help sell seats.
There's a lot of
things. Do the
things
same
that,
thing all over the country, but not. Let's not bring in the WWE.
And I don't think they're trying to do that.
The
next
That's
race,
what do you mean?
You know, and down
they're
the
not doing that. They don't have a ring set up.
How do you?
They're not wrestling.
How do you? Not, let me ask you. What
you
else?
Look in, guys. Ding, round two.
What else in the world is Ric Flair known for except the WWE?
Well, I'm telling you, they're not displaying wrestling.
It's all about selling tickets locally, Randy. You know as well as I do how many actually travel and follow NASCAR now, regional, much less the whole national tour. So you got to pull in your home state and your home area's people, and the only way to do that is give them something that they can, you know, kind of recognize. That'd be like when Daytona comes, Billy Joe or you are the Grand Marshal.
Yeah, but
people know you. That's an example. You've got to do it now.
I don't believe for a minute. I really, and maybe I'm completely off. I think I'm a pretty good promoter, and I think I understand promoters. I certainly understand the challenges out there right now. But I don't believe for a minute, Rick, that you're going to get one more person in a seat at that All-Star race because Ric Flair is
going to be there. You are. Ric Flair's wife.
Uh-oh.
Billy, agree with me on this one or disagree. Sit there and look at Randy and tell him how many kids know who Ric Flair is as opposed to adults. Kids say, Dad, I want to go to the race just to see Ric Flair.
He don't.
Okay, what's the bottom line?
I've been to see Ric Flair. I've done it. I paid the ticket price to go.
You can't tell him that. I tell him this all the time. It's going on. It goes on in Jacksonville every time they have a Sunday football game.
What?
Huh? All the Florida State players at Stark at the Princeton.
Oh, I knew this was coming. Here he comes. He's coming back. I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, he's using that, too. Let's face it. He's using that to rekindle his career.
What I say.
Maybe come out of retirement, make $100,000 and go right back into retirement. But, you know, NASCAR is pulling its strings right now for what they can do. And if this is the way they go, more power to them. I think, you know, local racing is benefiting right now just because NASCAR has just gone a tad bit stale in their product. They have good races, let's face it. They're the best drivers in the world. But what do they have to offer past that for the fans?
That's
my question.
Now, well, Billy had a good experience Saturday night or yesterday at Bristol. I mean, it was always great.
I was a real jerk up there. I ain't going to tell you no lies because you know what I did? I took me a cup of red clay and threw it down on the track. They damn near arrested me. The guy said, what are you doing? I said, we finna see some racing, dog.
He said, who do you think you are, Sammy?
Play a racetrack out of it.
Oh, boy. I took
the jet blower and blowed it back in my face.
You know what, Rick? I think that Ric Flair at an event such as Lakeland when USA International Speedway was still running, or a Winter National event at Volusia Speedway Park, I do believe people would come because it's a little bit more intimate setting. The thing I don't think would happen is I don't think Ric Flair would come.
Yeah, you're right about that. I would agree with that.
He's going to want the big money. You know, he's going to want that big show-up appearance fee, which the short track cannot afford. But, yeah, on a local level, absolutely. Bring him to Volusia or Orlando or Ocala, anywhere you want to take him. Sure, he'd draw better there. But, you know, they're using the broad scope national TV idea that, you know, how many thousand kids watch Ric Flair every week. And they get a chance to see him. And I agree with the intimate setting, too. That kid ain't going to be able to see Ric Flair when he's sitting up in nosebleed triple Y seat 427. Yeah. I agree with that.
Well, let me ask you this question. You know, you talk about trying to put people in the seats, okay? And let's just say, for the sake of the argument for a minute, that I agree with you. And I'm just saying, this is suppose I agree with you, that Ric Flair's presence at that All-Star race sells a few more tickets, okay? Let's just say that happens. I'm going to submit to you, however, that Ric Flair's presence at that racetrack, while it may indeed sell more tickets at that particular event, I believe that it will hurt your ability to attract a kind of person that they've been trying to attract to the racetrack, a celebrity person now, okay? A celebrity-type person. I think it will make a celebrity individual think twice about being a Grand Marshal, an honorary starter, or taking some other role in a race because its credibility has been compromised to a degree. You get what I'm saying?
Well, Joe hit it on the head. That title, honorary starter, honorary grand marshal, it's just a word with a few letters, syllables, and consonants. That's all it is. There isn't anything to being honorary. I mean, I'll put it in perspective locally. I'm an honorary inductee into the North Dakota Grand Forks County Speedway Hall of Fame. Okay, that's all that is. Nobody's going to remember that. Nobody knows what it means.
What's right?
I don't even know what it means.
What's right?
But, you know, it's one of them titles. It sounds important to the Joe Blow race fan that doesn't know any better.
Here's what
he's special.
Forget
making Flair the hero this weekend. Next weekend, it's going to be the sun-kissed orange guy.
Okay, I think it's they're making Flair the hero. And I'm not saying forget the title they bestowed upon him. They're billing the event to include Ric Flair in some capacity, be it sitting in a chair with, you know, his white hair and all his 16 different belts around him.
Robes.
What, okay, whatever the case may be, they've declared this an event that's worthy of letting people know that Ric Flair is going to be there. Okay, that can we agree on that?
Yeah, and okay. The thing is, too, let's face it, his price for showing up is a whole lot cheaper than any entertainer, movie star, dignitary. That's who NASCAR could afford, too.
Huh? Man, I'm telling you, let me take this. I can run with this. I'm telling you,
go ahead.
Who owns it? I'm getting Humpy on the phone.
Bruton
owns that Humpy's Charlotte
done. Yeah, yeah, they can Humpy.
Yeah, Humpy's done.
Because, I mean, all they let him roll out there in a Richard Petty driving experience car, do some donuts, make some smoke, and get out. Woo!
Woo!
You know what I mean?
Yep. Hey, Rick, who won at Brownstown up there?
Are you a smack because you're gone?
I was told that it was Earl Pearson Jr. who beat Dale McDowell.
Wow. Now, Berkey picked up the win Friday night, I think, wasn't it?
No, Berkey was with us.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
The Lone Star 100.
He was your fast qualifier.
Had new track record, and Shannon
that's what it was.
Beat him and also beat a hard-charging Darrell Lanigan.
Nice. Very nice. Points so far.
Boy,
yeah.
Points. Josh Richards leads by 10 over Lanigan. Francis in third, just a handful behind. I mean, the top 10, they're bunched up no less than about 60 points. It's probably the closest since coming out of Florida we've been in quite a while. And, you know, guys up front are having troubles. Francis destroyed his car 40 laps in, ended up 23rd. And the guys you don't expect up front, Clint Smith, who had a very tough year last year, he was 7th. Chubb Frank got a 5th. Richards was 4th. So, you know, it was a really neat thing.
Good
it
Lord.
Really was.
Go get that bull from Texas and bring it to Charlotte for Ric Flair to ride into the stadium.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's for Black Jack Mulligan.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay, so don't tell me I don't know.
Who was his son? Barry Windham.
Yeah, right,
gotcha.
Huh?
Yep, Barry
That's
Windham.
The Rose, baby.
Oh, yeah. No, I can do Dusty.
Oh, yeah, I bet you can.
Let's say something to y'all. power, too sweet to be sour. Hey.
Even our program is deteriorating, man.
Hey, Rick, tomorrow on your laptop when you have nothing else to do, go to realracingusa.com, click on our shows, click on Trackside Tonight, and play this. You'll dig it.
What do you mean when he has nothing else to do? He's always busy.
Hey, you guys are heading to the Midwest now, right?
Yeah, no, actually, we got home this afternoon.
Oh, you're
going. We're reloading, restocking, and Wednesday we head to Charlotte for the Colossal 100.
That's
get
right.
Home Sunday night. Pick up Wednesday morning and head to Farmer City, Illinois for the Illini 100. So it's
wow.
on.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, yeah. You have arrived at 2009, man. Things are going okay so far?
Yeah, real good, Joe. We've had a good car count, still averaging about 47 cars a race. We sold the place out of Lockley, Alabama, biggest crowd in their history, and probably the second biggest crowd ever at Battleground Speedway in Highlands, Texas. So out of the box, things are looking good. We got rained out last Saturday night, March 14th in Alabama, but all in all, it was a good trip so far. And let's face it, we're going to Charlotte. They pack them in there. They put on a heck of a show. 50,000 to win, 100 laps. It's going to be another good one. I'd say we're coming out strong again in 09.
And I guess here in Florida, we have to just be thankful that we get you guys for nine nights. And nine nights we see all these late models. And certainly the World of Outlaws for two nights. And then, of course, you don't come back till 2010.
Yeah, you got to admit, Joe, it is the best place in the entire United States to start off anybody's season. I don't care who it is that comes in. You come to Volusia, and you got 12 nights of racing, and the weather typically is decent, and the facility is always, always A1 and ready to go. When they open those gates, Joe, you know as well as I do on a regular night, but especially for those 12 nights, that place is in top-notch shape. Everybody knows what they're doing. They do the job well. They get them in. They give them a great show and get them out. They feed them. They entertain them. Volusia is just such a great place to start off the year.
Yeah, but I still wish, we're selfish. We want to see the World of Outlaws.
We want to see the Lucas Oil Series. First week in April.
Man, you can't say that to Rick Eshelman.
I got to tell you something, Rick. I wish you guys were back here before the end of the winter next year.
Yeah, it'd be nice, Randy, but I'll tell you, as far as super late models goes, and Joe, Billy, you'll agree on this, there's just not enough to draw from late in the year. You got season championships, series championships going on, and a lot of people, fan-wise, they can't make it down from the Midwest, the North, the East, or anywhere in between due to the fact they're saving up to come to Volusia again in February for 2 weeks. So it's a hard sell, but it's such a great facility. Maybe one of these days make a swing through at some point, you know, do maybe Volusia, Ocala, and head over somewhere else. But, you know, we'll see. But we definitely always look forward to February.
Always a pleasure, man. And take care of things out there. Keep that rig in between the lines and stay out of the way of the DOT, buddy.
You got it. Joe, Billy, Randy, always a great show, guys. And keep up the wrestling talk. It's good to hear something other than
that. Woo! Hey, Rick, I'm going to call you tomorrow and get your World of Outlaws winner for Dirt World Wednesday.
Ooh, I'll start thinking right now. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, buddy. See you.
I don't know.
We already have it.
Well, still, what else are you going to do? We're trying to play in Dirt World, Randy. Do you mind? Anyway.
My goodness. Well, with all that Dirt World talk, I'll tell you what, Mark. Let's take a break. I'll try to get these guys figured out where they really are. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You know, our future rests on the education that our children receive today. With every level of education feeling the economic pinch, a very special school is asking for your help. The Bet Safer Heritage School is 30 years old, and so the students, staff, teachers, parents, and alumni are using this as a vehicle to raise funds. On Saturday, March 28th at the Daytona Lagoon, join us at Castaways. We'll experience Hawaiian dancers, dinner, live music, and casino action. And all the proceeds go to help this very special private school. The Bet Safer Heritage School has students from pre-kindergarten to 8th grade, and they need your help. Make your reservation now. Call Tina Atchley at 386-299-3043. Call now. 386-299-3043. And we'll see you at the Bet Safer Heritage School Castaways fundraiser Saturday, March 28th. The children thank you.
It's time to get serious about your fitness, and we have a serious fitness guarantee for you. This is Tossa from Bodies Personalized Fitness in Ormond Beach. You can get that fantasy body you've always wanted by scanning your picture into a computer and then copy and pasting all the desired features you want. But let's face it, that would not do anything for your self-esteem or health. The truth of the matter is that to truly change your body and health, you need to take action. Take action today with Bodies Personalized Fitness. We're offering you a 100% results guarantee program. That's right. My staff and programs give you 100% results guarantee on your goals when you take action at Bodies Personalized Fitness. Today, my staff has set goals around customer service to make sure you succeed at your health and fitness goals. It's time to recession-proof your body and take care of your most valuable asset, your health. Let 2009 redefine your body, energy, and attitude with our 100% results guarantee. Call 672-6464. That's 672-6464 to make your appointment for a 100% results guarantee at Bodies Personalized Fitness.
You can be part of the celebration. Yes, on March 28th at Daytona Lagoon, the Bet Safer Heritage School is celebrating its 30th anniversary. Enjoy cocktails, music, casino excitement, a silent auction, and plenty of island-style food. Plus activities from wall climbing to go-kart racing and miniature golf. All proceeds go to the Bet Safer Heritage School. For more information, call 676-0539. Bet safer, fun, and you. Check out their website at bshsparty.com.
Thanks, Volusia County. You've made DaytonaFreeMarket.com one of the fastest-growing websites in the area. With hundreds of ads and thousands of page views, we're just getting started. Log on today and add your items to buy, sell, or trade on Daytona's newest and best free classifieds. That's right. Unlike the newspaper, it costs you nothing to put items, garage sales, cars, anything else on DaytonaFreeMarket.com. It's free, 100% local, and supported by the power of radio. Log on to DaytonaFreeMarket.com today and make extra cash.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside Tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dodge.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And we're glad to be with you. We were talking off the air a little bit about Justin Felice and the
R&B Motorsports. Yeah, the Triumph 675 and the AMA, the Honda 200.
They Justin actually had done some, you know, they had really been very, very fast. But had a kind of had an accident that got to him, and actually ends up losing part of his finger.
Wow!
And so obviously they were forced to skip California. tore the tendons in another part, another finger. Supposed to be back, ready to go at Atlanta, which is interesting. If you just heard what I said, there's not even a thought not to go back racing. No doubt about that they're going back racing. I talked to Robbie the other. Well, I guess I saw him last week, and they're still all fired up, disappointed. We're very concerned, obviously, for Justin, but prognosis was great, and he can't wait to get back on the bike and go. So that's what they're going to do.
Speaking of bike wrecks, Dave Shank, our photographer, Evolution, he went down during bike week. Beautiful Triumph Trophy that he just bought. Nice sport touring bike, just a beautiful piece. Found out Saturday, Billy, I talked to Dave's wife. And Dave, if you're listening, man, just hang in there, and we can't wait to see you. But a raccoon actually ran out in front of him on Pioneer Trail.
Oh, yeah, that's
while he was reaching down, trying to do something with the gas cap because he was having a fuel problem. Raccoon ran out in front of him, and that's when he went down. Bike is amazingly, they think it's going to be all right. He's still awaiting some surgery. He's off of his feet, obviously. Hopefully by the beginning of summer we'll be able to see him out at Volusia. But Don Bach was out there filling in for him. Good to see Don. But
get well soon, Dave.
Yeah, no doubt, Dave. Just get back out there, man. We miss you.
Yeah, you talk about track photographers. It's funny when you hear Don Bach.
Yeah.
You know, Don's been out there for... I remember Don Bach the first time I showed up at Volusia Speedway. And, you know, and it reminds me of, you know, the Jim Jones out at New Smyrna in Orlando. He and Brooke just do a great job. You know, those people are unique.
They really are.
They Don Bach, Jim Jones, Brooke,
Dave Shank.
You know, they're really unique people. I realize that they make, you know, this is how they make their living, but you got to really love what you do.
It's their craft, man.
Yeah.
They are truly artists.
Yeah.
Don Bach doesn't look any different. As a matter of fact, he's smiling more in his advancing years. You know, he always would have the grimace on his face, you know, and he's very serious about what he's doing. And Don Bach, if you've never seen him, I mean, he's a towering guy. The guy's real close to 7 feet tall. And he came walking up and said, "Good to see you, Joe." And I said, "Man, good to see you, Don." Because, I mean, we started back out there. I started, and Don was in his heyday. But good to see Don.
Well, Billy, you spent the weekend in Bristol. And I watched... a fair amount of the race yesterday. We didn't do a whole lot. You know, my daughter had gotten married Saturday night, and
congratulations!
Just chilling out on Sunday. You know, I guess trying to get used to the concept. I realize I'm not the only parent in the world that's ever had a child get married, but she is my only daughter, and so it's still sinking in. But we were kind of around the house and watch some of the race, and you know, I don't know. I got
to
say.
You've been to Bristol before, right?
I have.
Okay. Joe, you've been to Bristol?
No, going in the summer, though, the night race.
Okay. This place is awesome, man.
We're all three going, actually.
Yeah, you.
I'm going. Yeah.
All right.
We know where we're staying. Right. And we know we got a free rental car, everything. Tickets, we're good.
This is my first trip, man, to Bristol, and this place is awesome, man. I mean, it's. To pile 176,000 people into, like, the same scenario as New Smyrna Speedway.
Yeah. Except straight up.
Yeah, tiring. And, you know, and I know the guy that got me the tickets actually has had the tickets for a long time, and he didn't want them anymore. So I took over them, you know, so I'll get them every year. I called him first thing Saturday afternoon or Saturday night when I got back to the hotel room, and I thanked him. And he listens to the show, and Joe, if you're listening, man, thank you. It was an unbelievable experience. I pretty much said on the way home yesterday that I don't care if I ever go back up the road here. And I'll be honest with you, I feel that way. I know the night race in July, me and my wife go and have a great time.
Yep.
But to go to Bristol now and to see what I saw, it's like we rode by here tonight and even looked to the right. You know, I'm sorry to say that, but it's just...
Well, you know, what's funny about that, too, and this is some of the things I've been to. I'd have to go count, but I've been to just about, well, I'd say well over the majority of the NASCAR racetracks that are on the circuit today, and obviously some that aren't anymore. Right. And if there's one race that you could advise somebody to go to get them hooked, it's Bristol. Because, you know, what I was getting ready to say is, I'm listening to you, that enthusiasm, that excitement that you have for Bristol. And I'm going to tell you, in my estimation, that wasn't one of my even top 10 Bristol races. Right. But you saw it yesterday.
Yesterday was horrible.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
That's what everybody kept saying. Is this your first one? Don't let it get to you. It'll be better.
Why? What did it lack?
Just born.
What did you want in Rex?
No, I didn't want Rex. I wanted
they were side by side. They were passing.
No,
you know,
Kyle Busch led like 250 laps at the beginning. Just took off from him.
But I mean, through the field.
He's in front of me, and they're getting.
You wanted lead changes. You wanted lead changes.
I want to see him passing each other.
You wanted lead changes.
You know, I want to see him go in that corner and hit him in the butt, and move him up.
Well, you know what I think this is, and this is gonna. I don't want to veer off too much from your Bristol experience because I want you to talk about it, the whole thing. But I do want to say, I think that part of the problem with what you saw yesterday is very much a function of the race car. They still can't get this car figured out. It definitely doesn't have the grip that they want. And ultimately, I think, and you're finally starting to see, I guess, the press releases or the rumor mill gain more and more credibility in the widening of the tire, and I truly believe that before long, the race tire that these guys are running on with this car of today is going to get wider. I think that's the only thing. They're not going to change the car. They're too committed to that. You see how long it takes to get a car where everybody gets comfortable, so they're not going to veer off. But I think you are going to see a wider tire, which will make the driver feel more comfortable, will give him more grip, and I think the racing at Bristol and some other places will get better as a result of that.
I think, I'll be honest, I think yesterday's race would have been a whole lot different if they hadn't thrown the caution with Brian Vickers supposedly had a flat tire and was loose on the front straightaway. These guys were on a 150-lap or longer run under green. So I'm thinking this caution that they threw, and I'm listening to the scanner when Vickers pulls on pit road, and this is what he said. Where's the caution? What's the caution for? You know, because now he's pulling on pit road, and there's caution, and his crew tells him to keep going, and he's asking, what's the caution for? There was nothing on the racetrack. But, see, I think that caution changed the whole scenario of the race, because if you give these guys a green flag pit stop on this deal, you got one or two cars that are out of sync with them. This changed the whole race. You know, and Denny Hamlin was good on the long run. He had just caught Kyle Busch and passed him. I mean, I'm talking about Kyle Busch was gone, and Denny Hamlin ran him down on the long run, passed him. Next thing you know, this guy gets a little loose on the front straightaway, and they throw the yellow. You know, he didn't touch nothing. I didn't see no tire laying on the. What, I mean, you guys see it on TV. What did they say the caution was for?
I didn't see that part.
I think it was debris.
Yeah.
From Vickers or?
Well, but everybody, just debris. Everybody was getting tires. You could see him going in the corner, guys running up the track and sliding up the track because the tires were wild. I don't know how many lap span it was on. It was a long green flag run. And I'm thinking to myself, these guys got to be almost out of gas here.
Well, that's about right. The fuel run at Bristol, a full tank of gas is going to be just about 150 laps.
Right.
And, you know, between the car's getting lighter because right. the fuel burning off and the tires getting weaker,
right.
you know, you're going to have a different feeling race car. I think it's interesting, and I'm not, this isn't going to come out right, so forgive me right out. You know, here's the disclaimer. But, you know, these guys are really, they always love to get these fresh, brand new tires. Everybody is a, you know, everybody is a rocket on fresh tires. And you really get to see the quality of the race car driver when the tires get old. And I like to watch guys like Mark Martin because give him 150 laps on tires versus giving, let's just say some others. I'll leave it at that, 150 laps on tires. Mark Martin still got tires left at 150 laps. You know what I'm saying? I mean, his car, he takes care of the tires. A lot of other guys, they don't have anything left at 150 miles, 150 laps on the tires.
I think that I really think that caution changed the whole race. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Kyle Busch had a great weekend. He was great on Saturday till that deal with that tire got him a little bit behind, and he had to come back in the pit area and put in the tail in the longest line. And
then he became a punk at the end of the race.
He showed his tail. Yeah. It happened right in front of me. Parks, he drives right by him. To come into the pits when the race over, he had the very first pit stall on the back straightaway. He drives right past him. As a matter of fact, the NASCAR official ran out in front of him trying to get him to slow down because he come flying down pit road. He gets to the end, slams on brakes, slides the car up to the line.
He parks and walks.
Gets out the car, starts walking, and some PR person walks around and walks into that little tunnel that takes you out of the racetrack back to the motor car, and the car is just sitting there. I mean, it's gone.
Come get your car.
That's pretty much what he did. And, you know, be honest with you, if I'm J.D. Gibbs, who owns that team, I think I'd do something different here. I might would have penalized him on Sunday. But then J.D. Gibbs, I mean, he said it flat out. Every time I have a good car somewhere, you guys cost me the race. And he's talking to his crew guys. You know what? If it was me, next week I'd leave 3 lug nuts loose on the car just because. Just because the way he does it.
Well, let me ask you a question.
They get paid the same, man.
Yeah, what happens to, you know, let's just be honest. I mean, certainly Kyle Busch is a huge talent. But that guy has made some mistakes himself. Yeah. So what happens? Is the crew going to pack? Hey, okay, guys, done. Pack the box. Let's go.
Change your own tires.
Change your own tires.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially the same kind of reaction that you would have to have. I think it's absolutely
very, very immature.
But it's the same. It is the reason. Wait, all push comes to shove, and it all gets right down to it. It's the reason why Kyle Busch is not at Rick Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it. If that kid, as talented as he is, if he was manageable, he'd still be there. He would still be. How many times he said when Mark had done some stuff with the 5 car? You know, gee whiz, I wish if they had done this or that for me when I was there.
Right.
You know, did you hear those kind of comments?
Oh, yeah.
And for a guy to park a car, that is the ultimate disrespect of his crew. He thinks he's better than the crew, and I'm going to tell you what. That kid right there, Kyle Busch, could not win a race
without
that crew.
Yeah.
Did they boo him Saturday, too?
They booed him. They booed him every time.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. You know, and to be honest, I mean, don't get it wrong. It's the first time there, so to me it's a great experience. And you see things there that you don't see, you know, here. But, you know, big disappointment yesterday. I was really disappointed in Carl Edwards. I was really disappointed in Matt Kenseth. You know, guys that you were expecting that would have that have been good there were horrible.
Hey, well, let me tell you something. Kenseth, I doubt seriously he ever was able to recover. He came out of turn 4 one time and slapped the wall with
he hit the
wall with the rear of the car and then hit it with the right front of the car. And I can promise you, when they got down with that race car, if they'd have taken some measurements, it was out.
Right.
I mean, he hit it hard. And so I think for him to have done what he did just to stay in the race was pretty impressive. He hit it hard on both the right rear and the right front.
You know, but just the whole experience was unbelievable. The way they set the, you know, the stage and everything up behind the racetrack, and you know, when you're leaving, you know, they sell these event shirts before the race. It's supposed to be buy an event shirt, and it's $10-15 or something, whatever it is, off the trailer. Yesterday, when they're leaving, now this is where people are getting smarter. We do almost the same thing on Friday nights at Ocala Speedway. When the races are over, we have somebody standing at the gate with all the extra food selling it. Okay, if burgers are $2, they start out at $1. This is what they do. Get your burgers for $1. As the crowd gets a little deeper, now your burgers become 75 cents. Then they come 50 cents. And as the crowd gets even to the end, you could buy burgers for a quarter. So yesterday I'm leaving. This guy's got a table. Now, you got 176,000 people, not all going out this one area. You got a guy standing there going, event T-shirts, $5, and he's holding them up. He's got a table full of T-shirts for $5, the same shirts that were 10 and 15. Why not?
They're official shirts, right?
Official shirts. He works for the track. He's selling them. Why not?
Well, that's just tough.
Why not?
I don't know. One guy paid 15. Listen. He paid 20. I should have waited until the end of the race. I got it for 5.
What happens next time you wait? Randy's been there, and I'm sure you've been all around on the back side of the racetrack where they have the speed and they have all these other vendors set up. Bristol Motor Speedway has their own tent that sells all their merchandise from previous years for
right.
almost nothing.
Well, see, because they don't use AmeriCrown. They have their own marketing company.
Well, it's Speedway Motorsports.
Right, right, right.
It's a separate deal.
But no, I think it's a great concept for them. However, the guy that's paid $20, I mean, how's he feeling walking by the guy that's about to pick one up for 5?
Listen, sweetheart, if you paid
this
20,
is America.
It's $15.
Oh, I hear you.
Hold on. But listen to me. Let me help for a second. If you paid $20 for the shirt, this is me. I didn't buy one. But if I paid $20 for the shirt, when I'm walking by and the guy says $5, I'll buy another one. Now I'm in the 2 for $25. That's $12.50.
That's income averaging, baby.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Nice. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
I like the concept because they don't do it over here.
Oh, God, no.
No.
God no. As a matter of fact, you're paying full price for something last year.
T-shirts left over from 4 or 5 years ago.
Same price.
That are overseas.
No, of course.
Like the Super Bowl stuff.
Yeah. You got Orlando Magic national champions over there, too.
Yeah. Okay. So, at the end, even though it...
I had to grade the weekend. I graded about a 9.5, 9.75.
Traffic
was probably the worst part, but you know what? You live with it. You put about 176,000 people in a half-mile square radius racetrack, and you're going to have traffic. One thing I liked about it was the dragway was sitting right there behind it. I'd love to do that once. Mm-hmm. But all the mountains, you could breathe. I could breathe.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It's nice. I mean, we parked in a trailer park, and all them people live around there. Just what's it like twice a year? You see what I'm saying?
I'll tell you something else. And awesome. I'm completely off the subject. I've been to Bristol for races. The other thing is, I went there for the Christmas lights.
Yeah,
thing.
I hear so much about
unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, drive around the track, really parades cool. And stuff. Yep.
Yeah. Let's do quick results from New Smyrna Speedway this past weekend. The late model division, good field of cars. Two ladies in the event, or I'm sorry, three. Amanda Tunchik finished third. Alexis Fenton was fourth. Jessica Murphy was ninth.
Oh, out of the truck now, huh?
Well, she's been in the late models for a while.
That's right. That's right.
And the winner, a name that you know, I know you'll recognize, Brad May. But a good field of cars. Modified winner was Tank Tucker, Kevin Terry, and Mark Vandiver.
Some Ocala.
In the top three there. Sportsman, Timmy Ty Jr., guy raced a long time. Beat Donnie Williams.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Beating Donnie Williams.
Donnie Williams, you're doing something.
That's right. Ron Luffsey, Matt Monter. I do this every time. Monteri, I believe, and Jason Foster, the top five there. Superstock winner, Scott Smith, David Russell, John Hodge, Richard Goodrich, and Mike Dom. The Strictly Stocks, this is the highest car count. William Hindeman, Tim Walters, John Witt, Dustin Higdon, and Robert Pierce. Over in Orlando.
Orange Blossom 100.
Orange Blossom 100.
Yeah,
great field of super late models. Jeremy Colangelo was the winner. Daniel Webster, Jason Vail, Corey Freed, and then Rich Clouser. You know, and I want to read down, guys, Brian Finney finished sixth. Tim Russell was eighth. Wayne Anderson was 11th. This time he drove his dad's number 92. Eddie Gainey, Rusty Ebersole, Sam Watts, David Rogers didn't fare so well over there, finished 16th. And one we know of lots and lots, Martin Maresca. He did not end up taking the green flag. But anyway, it was a really good weekend of racing around. Obviously, New Smyrna Speedway, Orlando Speedway will both be running this weekend.
Hey, and they've widened the pit road substantially at New Smyrna.
Yeah, widened the pit road. That's obviously in an effort to make it. I really think it's a couple things. I think it's partly due to the cup practice that's going on there. The pit road there is tough. You don't get out of there very fast. And there's not a lot of room. So if you got three or four cars testing at New Smyrna on any given day, you got to be really careful going down pit road. If you got another guy sitting there working on his car, not a lot of room. And so I suspect that part of that is a request being received by the Speedway
What kind of income can Robert Hart expect? I mean, do you have any idea when he rents it for the testing?
I'd have to tell you if I knew, I probably wouldn't say because I think that's a problem.
No, but I mean, would you have any kind of idea? I mean,
I think it's significant.
Okay, it is significant.
I think it's significant. Yeah, I do. I mean, you got to remember something. There's a lot of that rah-rah about having the cup teams there, but they're hard on the track.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
So he needs to
be compensated. Or
I think he needs to be compensated, and if I was him, I'd be kind of using that money as a capital improvement fund. You know, it's kind of like a bonus, and when that money gets to a place where you need to go do something to your racetrack, your facility, then you've got it. But that's a business thing.
Talking about local racing, I want to say I didn't tell Joe on the way over, but my brother picked up the win Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Speedway, and my little nephew is racing a Hornet. He picked up the win.
Good deal.
And Hornet Saturday night over there. And Tony Parker, I talked to him last week on the phone. I grew up at this little racetrack. This guy's got this place back the way it should be. He's getting car count back up. He's getting a great crowd. It's a great thing for him. You know?
Fantastic.
And
congratulations.
And things are going well for him. This weekend, you know, the Dirtly Mall Challenge Series.
Absolutely.
Miles, Friday
That's
night,
right.
Saturday night, 10,000 to the winner. It'll be a big show.
Volusia Speedway Park, Fast Lane 5 racing, just 15 miles west of I-95, State Road 40 in Barberville.
New Smyrna Speedway, Orlando Speed World this weekend, both Friday and Saturday night. And, of course, next Monday night right here at Trackside tonight.
Thank you to the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, for stopping by.
Good night, everybody.
Go Pit.